Calling all benders and non-benders alike, dive into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar, Braving the Elements.
Hosted by me, Janet Varney, the voice of Avatar Korra.
And me, Dante Bosco, the voice of Prince Zuko.
Each week, we'll explore a new episode of The Legend of Korra.
Find your balance as we uncover breaking news, trivia, special guests, and so much more.
I mean, I've got some flameo hot takes that'll really light a spark. Follow and listen to Avatar Braving the Elements on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
On X at Rich Zeoli. Hope you're having a great day. I know we got a lot of bad weather out there. So as Mama Zeoli would say, be careful, baby. All right. Be careful, baby, driving home. We got a lot of events have been canceled, including my daughter's play, which has been rescheduled to tomorrow night. It's not going to go to that tomorrow night. But anyway, Michael's been holding in Delaware for quite some time. So I want to go to him first. Michael, thanks for your patience and holding. Your thoughts on Russia and Hillary Clinton and all the news today?
Well, there's a couple things that are it's sort of a why question, and I think I have a clue to the why. In 2009, a guy named Justin Cooper, who worked for the Clinton Foundation, not for the Secretary of State, he was not a federal employee, he's the guy who set up the private server for the Clintons. And what he essentially did, he was basically the center of what I call the Clinton money machine. Bill Clinton, former president, who's able to collect money for speeches, the Clinton Foundation, and Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State. During that time when she was Secretary of State, the Clintons' net worth increased from $40 million to $85 million. There were 32,000 emails that were under subpoena that were deleted by the Clintons' lawyers. And it was identified when the New York Times broke the story about a month before she declared her candidacy in 2015. The New York Times broke the story that there was a private server. And there was an internal poll done by the Clinton campaign that identified two sources of vulnerability. One is the real hotspot was when Bill Clinton gave a $500,000 speech in Moscow. And President Putin called him after the speech to congratulate him. And it was about the Uranium One situation, which that's right around the same time that Hillary announced the Russian reset. So the fear among the Clinton campaign was, even though they had deleted the emails and they never turned the server over to the FBI, the fear was the Russians might have hacked those emails and might release those during the campaign. So a way to inoculate the Clinton campaign was to not just say the Russians might interfere in the election, but was to create the narrative that the Russians were hacking, and therefore any emails released in the future, you kind of inoculated yourself from that. So that was the campaign strategy that I think was spelled out a little bit today. What if you jump forward into March of 2016, that's when that campaign strategy jumped over from the Clinton campaign and into the FBI and into DNI Clapper and into Brennan. And I think you're going to read about this in the next couple of days. On March 14, 2016, Brennan made a secret trip to Moscow, where he met with the head of the FSB, which is basically the former KGB.
Right.
The following day was the first day that Russian hackers attempted to do spear phishing of the DNC servers and John Podesta's Gmail accounts. Why is that interesting? If you're going to run the narrative that the Russians are hacking emails and they never actually hack anything, that's not a very powerful narrative. If you can go to Russia and either request or approve or say, here's an interesting idea that might weaken both candidates, Brennan might have played that role. Fortunately, someone in Moscow noticed his aircraft on the tarmac, and the Moscow Times did an article, and then back in July of 2016, the Times wrote about that visit. At the same time he was doing that, the very next day, DNI head James Clapper had made a secret trip to Australia. Comey had been to Australia 2 weeks before that. Australia is one of the Five Eyes intelligence countries that shares intelligence.
Right.
And if you look at who Alexander Downer was, the guy who entrapped George Papadopoulos, he was the Australian High Commissioner based in London. Fusion GPS has two offices. They have one in London and they have one in Washington, D.C., where Nellie Orr, Bruce Orr's wife, worked. Hiring Fusion GPS was the Clinton campaign. They hired out of the British office where they can use British intelligence. And if you read Papadopoulos' book, members of the Defense Intelligence Agency and State Department and British intelligence agents were the ones that encouraged him to meet with Joseph Misfood, who told him Russians might have emails that they hacked about Clinton. And then Downer later on reported and said, oh, well, he told me that. If you then jump forward to how Operation Crossfire Hurricane was generated, it was based on Alexander Downer's email about Papadopoulos, which traces back to the visits to Australia. And it traces back to Carter Page also being done overseas. You can't get a warrant. The CIA can't bug an American citizen. But if they can get foreign intelligence agencies to surveil and encourage and entrap, they can run an operation overseas and do that without U.S. warrants. So Operation Crossfire Hurricane started July 31st. It didn't start then. It started, they needed predicates to start that. And those predicates were done by Brennan's visit to Moscow, by Clapper's visit to Australia, and by close coordination with Fusion GPS in England. So there's a bit, all this stuff goes back to this guy named Justin Cooper, who didn't even work in the government, who set up a private server for Hillary Clinton. And there were 32,000 emails that Hillary said were about wedding plans and funeral plans and
yoga. Right?
Yeah. Those 32,000 emails, they're the ones that probably detailed how the Clintons increased their net worth from 40 to 85 million while she was Secretary of State. And her fear was, what happens if Russia has hacked those? You're a smart guy. You worked in campaigns. You'd say, well, what if we can make it look like Russia hacked our emails? We can basically say anything they came up with in the future, even if they did hack them, we'll say Russia hacked them, and it's invalid. So that's a narrative. I think you're going to start to see more about the Brennan secret trip to Moscow and Clapper's secret trip to Australia, which have not been covered yet. But I think when they do get covered, you're going to see how this originated was, I think, the fear in the Clinton campaign of being exposed for how they raised their money with the Clinton Foundation and Clinton picking up speeches. That's kind of a long-winded way of.
Well, Michael, you know, I always love your calls because you know your stuff, and I'd be shocked if you were wrong. And we shall see what the next days and weeks will bring.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. You know this from campaigns, presidential campaigns. You can't convert funds to personal use, but you can donate. I can pay you $500,000 to give a speech. I can pay your spouse $600,000 to give a speech. Mm-hmm. And that's how the Clinton used her being the presumptive nominee in a way that no other candidates have ever done that before. And that's what they had sought. I think that's what they were all trying to prevent. And I think they had allies in the intelligence agency and said, okay, I think we can make this work. And that's the Clapper and the Brennans and the Nellie Orrs and the Bruce Orrs and all those people. And it probably is part of a broader conspiracy. So I think that statute of limitations, you've had that conversation before, but that may not be as strong a protection as these people think.
Michael, thanks, buddy. Have a great drive home and a safe one, okay?
Be safe. Thank you, sir.
All right, you got it. Appreciate it. Appreciate your thoughts on that. Michael knows his stuff. Okay, so...
Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Dive into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar, Braving the Elements.
Hosted by me, Janet Varney, the voice of Avatar Korra.
And me, Dante Bosco, the voice of Prince Zuko.
Each week, we'll explore a new episode of The Legend of Korra.
Find your balance as we uncover breaking news, trivia, special guests, and so much more.
I mean, I've got some flamio hot takes that'll really light a spark. Follow and listen to Avatar, Braving the Elements on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you're just joining us, and all this is coming out today, this Russiagate report, and basically, you know, alleging that Hillary Clinton knew about this and orchestrated all this, and now that the declassified annex of the Durham report is out, then there's a lot of details that are coming out. And whistleblowers are coming forward, and the whistleblowers are coming forward and saying that they were told by the top people at the Office of National Intelligence, keep your mouth shut, go along with this anyway. and they didn't want to, but they were told, go along with this anyway. And Tulsi Gabbard is putting that out there and saying these brave whistleblowers, you know, their stories now are coming forward. And several of them, you know, and the FBI chief has found these burn bags. That, you know, that story broke yesterday. Staff at the Office of the Director of National Intelligence were threatened to go along with all this or else. You know, I mean, there's a lot to this that is now coming out. And so the question of accountability, that we're all hoping we see accountability. Yeah, I mean, I think Chuck Grassley, I think you're going to hear a lot from Jim Jordan in the next couple of days. You're going to hear a lot. And I want to play this clip for you, too. This is, let's see if I can find this now. Actually, before I do anything, I want to just play this. This is mostly visual, but it makes me happy. And this is our happy hour. And it's brought to you by the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. We're going to be live for our next live show August 15th. Okay, it's our final show of the summer. So make sure you join us for that, Friday the 15th. You do not need tickets. You don't need a reservation to come to the show, but come to the show, 3 to 7 p.m., Friday, August 15th. All right? I want to see you there. This is cut number 37. Now, this is a visual, but I'm going to explain what it is to you, and it is America's mother-in-law, Elizabeth Warren, falling down on the Senate floor and knocking over a table. And if you can see it there on YouTube, and Justin, is it playing there? There we go.
Baldwin, Blount Rochester, Durbin, Heinrich, Hirono, Kane.
So she falls down. Now, the reason why I'm saying that is there's obviously a number of memes that have been created now after Elizabeth Warren has fallen down. I put out the video with a tweet and I said, new movie coming out, Dances with Tables. She knocked over a table, like Dances with Wolves, sort of a nod to the Native American movie with Kevin Costner, Dances with Tables. But there's a bunch of them coming out, and they're going to be dominating your Instagram feed, your TikTok feed, and your X feed for quite some time. So feel free to come up with your own. And jump in at any moment and share with us. One of them that Gunther Eagleman put out, her Cherokee Indian name is now Falling Horse. Falling Horse. Very good as well. Very good. And Senator Ron Wyden keeps, he walks right by her and everyone else rushes to her assistance. It is possible she also got herself a beer and maybe that went to her head and she fell. I don't know, but Dances with Tables. That'll be my new part of my summer blockbuster trilogy, along with Cocaine White House Dogs and Beast One. And now we have freaking Radioactive Wasps. We got to talk about that as well. Radioactive Wasps. But I want to play. Oh, and we never played the clip of George Stephanopoulos getting stuck in an elevator, but we will do that as well. Let me see if I can play this for you. Let's see. We got a ton of audio today. If I can find this now, let's see. Okay, Jason Crow. This is Congressman Jason Crow, Democrat of Connecticut. And as the evidence now is coming out that the Obama administration orchestrated the Trump-Russia hoax, the spin from Democrats and from the media is that this is just now all being fabricated by Tulsi Gabbard. All right? I want to remind you, this is John Durham's findings. This is also the House Intelligence Committee's findings. Tulsi Gabbard just happens to be the one releasing all these things. But here's Democrat Congressman Jason Crow, cut number 12.
Congressman, this bipartisan Senate report that I alluded to also concluded that Russia did interfere in the 2016 election. Russia wanted Trump to win. But Gabbard said in her report, referring to the Obama administration, quote, their goal was to usurp President Trump and subvert the will of the American people. What's your reaction to the report?
Well, listen, what's actually going on here is pretty clear. You have Tulsi Gabbard, who's been out of favor with President Trump since the intelligence agency issued battle damage assessments of the Iran strike that were not consistent with what Donald Trump was saying. So she's been in hot water and been trying to get back into favor. And then you have a president and President Trump who wants people to talk about anything anything other than the Epstein investigation, which he is very, very clearly worried about, the release of the Epstein files. So what's happening is Tulsi Gabbard's trying to work his way back into the good graces of Donald Trump by fabricating this conspiracy theory to try to placate Donald Trump. That's what this is all about.
That's the spin. All right, that's the spin. But ask yourself, if that's the case, why is this coming out from the Durham report, the annex that was classified? Why is this coming out from John Ratcliffe, the CIA director, who started got the ball rolling on this weeks ago? Why is this coming out from the House Intelligence Committee? And why is this coming out from Senator Chuck Grassley? None of those people are named Tulsi Gabbard. None of them. Not one of those people is Tulsi Gabbard. Tulsi Gabbard's Tulsi Gabbard, but they're not Tulsi Gabbard. So if you missed it earlier, here's Chuck Grassley breaking down the Russia collusion hoax and what happened here. We'll start with Cut 38 from Fox News earlier today. Take a listen.
It actually brings attention to the fact that there was either a Clinton conspiracy to make this happen or a Russian disinformation. But either way, it was an attempt to stop Trump. And it also proves that the FBI had a hand in it. And now after these 8 years, 3 years of my trying to get the document, we know that there was the Steele dossier paid for by the Democrats and the Clinton campaign, that it was all effort of total distraction and to make it look like Russia was playing a very major role in helping Trump to be elected. And now we know none of that was true. And now with this Durham report annex out, it finally proves that the FBI was covering up.
Okay. And I keep saying this. I'm going to keep saying it. Christopher Wray, because Christopher Wray becomes the FBI director and allows this cover up to continue and then tells everybody Russia's still doing it, setting the table for everybody to believe that the Russian laptop was, the Hunter Biden laptop was Russia collusion. Chairman Grassley continues here. Cut 39.
The public's business ought to be public, and what the FBI does ought to be public as long as their investigations are done. Or if they aren't investigating, if they aren't doing their job, then it should be exposed. And this Durham annex exposes that.
Absolutely. Caroline Leavitt at the White House press briefing today commented on that. But she also commented on this agreement that was reached with Brown University, prohibiting it from performing transgender procedures or prescribing puberty blockers. This is a big win. All right. We got to stop the mutilation of our children in this country. We got to stop giving them these drugs, these hormones, blockers, and we got to stop this nonsense. And they are going to recognize now that men are men and women are women. Boys are boys and girls are girls. This is good. This is great. Here's cut 40.
Part of the settlement with Brown prohibits it from performing transgender procedures or prescribing hormone puberty blockers, that type of thing. Will eliminating these types of procedures be a priority for the Trump administration in negotiations with other universities?
I can tell you that ending the chemical castration of children in our country is a priority of this administration. We've talked to many of these universities about it, but the president has also taken very strong action to cut off the funding for any medical institution in this country that provides those barbaric procedures. The Brown University agreement, since you brought it up, is yet another win to root out anti-Semitic behavior on our nation's college campuses and unlawful racial discrimination. Brown has agreed to no longer allow unlawful racial discrimination in admissions or university programming. They have agreed to provide access to all relevant data and information to rigorously assess compliance with its commitment to merit-based admissions, and they will pay $50 million over 10 years to state workforce development organizations that comply with anti-discrimination laws, supporting regional economic growth and career opportunities. Brown will also adopt the definitions of male and female from President Trump's executive order, defending women and gender ideology extremism for women's sports, programming, facilities, and housing. Brown will no longer perform gender gender reassignment surgeries on minors or prescribe them puberty blockers or cross-sex hormones.
Good.
And Brown will take steps to improve the campus climate for Jewish students and combat anti-Semitism on their campus. This is yet another huge win for American students and for those who love our country and want to abide by our country's laws.
Absolutely. Now, yesterday after the show, I got a note from Tim. I try to check my email during the show as best I can. I can't always. The bill that's working its way through Congress regarding insider stock trading. Now, this is going to go back and forth through the Senate and the House. The version that passed yesterday from the Senate does not have the president and vice president included in this. Now, it should, because I don't think presidents and vice presidents should be able to make money off insider trading either. That's why Senator Rand Paul voted against it. That bill's being worked out. And I imagine that will come to fruition as well. But Caroline Leavitt, the White House press secretary, addressed the reason why they're putting a ban on stock trading. I want to remind you, Mikey Sherrill, the Democrat nominee for governor of New Jersey. That election is this November. Mikey made millions in stock trades, stocks that had to do with committees she served on, including the House Armed Forces Committee. She made money off military contract stocks and et cetera. So these people are crooks. But a big reason is the vampiric one, Nancy Pelosi. Here's Caroline Leavitt today, cut number 5.
The reason that this idea to put a ban on stock trading for members of Congress is even a thing is because of Nancy Pelosi. I mean, she is rightfully criticized because she makes, I think, $174,000 a year, yet she has a net worth of approximately $413 million. In 2024, Nancy Pelosi's stock portfolio, this was a fascinating statistic to me, grew 70%. In 1 year, in 2024, and her portfolio outperformed every single large hedge fund in that same year, and even more than doubled the returns of Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway. So I think the president stands with the American people on this. He doesn't want to see people like Nancy Pelosi enriching themselves off of public service and ripping off their constituents in the process. As for the mechanics of the legislation and how it will move forward, the White House continues to be in discussions with our friends on Capitol Hill.
And she got really mad at Jake Tapper. Like, if I'm Jake Tapper, I'm watching my neck, buddy. You know what I mean? I'm walking around with something like a turtleneck, a metal turtleneck. Or I possibly, after this, if I'm Jake Tapper, I may walk around one of those medieval armor hat thingies. You know what I mean? Like a medieval, because that neck, dude, watch that neck, Jake Tapper. The vampiric one, you have gotten on her list. I'm just saying, you are on her naughty list. Cut number 8.
So Nancy Pelosi became rich.
Why do you have to read that? Here to talk about the 60th anniversary of Medicaid. That's what I agreed to come to talk about.
Yeah, but I wanted
what that means in the election.
I wanted to give you a chance just to respond. He accused you of insider trading. What's your response to that?
That's ridiculous. In fact, I very much support the stop the trading of members of Congress. Not that I think anybody's doing anything wrong. If they are, they are prosecuted and they go to jail. But because of the confidence it instills in the American people, don't worry about this. But I have no concern about the obvious investments that had been made over time. I'm not into it. My husband is. But it isn't anything to do with anything inside.
Now, my husband is. You catch that part? My husband is. Why you got to bring that up? But my favorite is the very beginning of that, where he reads the quote from President Trump, and she says, "Why you got to do? Why you got to say? Why you got to say?" Just play that part again, Justin, if you would.
So Nancy Pelosi became rich.
Why do you have to read that? Here to talk about the 60th anniversary of Medicaid.
Yeah, that's what I agreed to. Justin, what's the point that you texted me?
Right now, as it stands, the SPY, the market index, is basically tracks like the S&P 500 and all that, is up to plus 237.4%. But, and this is on returns since May 16th, 2014. If you were to follow the Nancy Pelosi strategy, your returns would be up a mere 731%.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. In 2021, she rejected a ban on stock trading by lawmakers because, again, she doesn't do it. My husband. My husband does it. Cut 10.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says no to banning congressional lawmakers from trading stock. It was in response to a question about a report that found dozens of members of Congress violated a law meant to stop insider trading and prevent conflicts of interest. Here's what Pelosi said.
Because this is a free market and people, we are a free market economy. They should be able to participate in that.
So she's angry that President Trump said she should be investigated. Here's a little flashback of all the times Nancy Pelosi has openly and repeatedly called for President Trump to be imprisoned. Cut number 9.
Tonight, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi escalating her war of words against the president. Politico reporting that during a meeting Tuesday, she was pressed by Judiciary Committee Chairman Jerry Nadler to start impeachment proceedings. NBC News has learned from a congressional source in the room, Pelosi then said about the president, "I don't want to see him impeached. I want to see him in prison." Pelosi has indicated she wants the president prosecuted after leaving office. Pelosi is facing pushback from a growing number of Democrats calling for an impeachment inquiry, up to 60 House members. But Pelosi insists it's too soon.
We're following the facts. We'll take them where they lead us.
According to Politico, Judiciary Chairman Nadler told some Democrats he might subpoena Robert Mueller in the next 2 weeks. Nadler has said he's confident Mueller will come in soon, but it will be behind closed doors.
Now, you know what's interesting? As Stephen Colbert gets fired, allegedly, but is still allowed to work till May, and I told you he wants to get canceled, he's still bringing on really boring guests and still bringing on people that are engaged in the typical leftist nonsense and spewing this. Now, this is important. So Alyssa Slotkin, former CIA analyst, telling Colbert, and this is the spin, and remember, this is the Late Show, this is CBS, this is the spin. As all this truth is coming out about Russian collusion, as all the truth is coming out that Hillary Clinton was behind all this and with the help of the FBI and the help of the CIA. So here's former CIA analyst and current Senator Alyssa Slotkin on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. Cut number 11.
Conspiratorially minded people out there like to think that some of the trouble the United States has is because of the what they call the deep state.
Right.
Okay. And as a former spy, is there a deep state? What do they mean by deep state?
Yeah, I wish people could understand that a lot of the guys that I serve with, guys and gals at the CIA or at the Pentagon where I served, first of all, a lot of them are former military. So, you know, if you can't be like pro-military and then anti-intelligence community and deep state. But a lot of the guys are also like wearing mom jeans and white sneakers on the weekends. Like these are good corn-fed people who just want to help their country.
Eating ballpark fries.
Well, eating their hot dogs or doing whatever. And
wearing mom jeans?
This idea that there's some network of people that are running the world, it's just, it doesn't really match reality. And these people in the dead of night are doing things to protect this country and make sure things don't blow up here. Mm-hmm. And for me, you know, the way that Trump is going after them is just, it's particularly, first of all, it's nasty. Second of all, it's completely counter to our interests to be demoralizing the people that are protecting us.
Mom jeans? They're walking around with mom jeans and white sneakers on the weekend? I think that alone should be enough to put them in prison, in my opinion. All right, we'll talk about all this with Dr. Victoria Coates straight ahead. But I want to tell you about the offers for you from Tri-County Auto, my great friends over there. Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram, you pay what they pay, employee pricing for everybody. That's right. And you can also lease a new 2025 Jeep Wrangler Sport 4xe for only $289 a month for 24 months. Or check out a new 2025 Ram 1500 Bighorn. You lease that baby for $459 a month for 42 months. Look, Tri-County Auto is the best, all right? They stand with us. They're our official car sponsor. And they're right off 422, Collegeville, Limerick, easy to get to, King of Prussia, wherever you are. And they're good people. Brian and Cheryl Krieger, the whole team over there, great people. Their dog's named Maverick. I mean, come on. And, I love driving a Jeep Wrangler. I love driving American. And if you buy American, you can deduct that interest now because of the one big beautiful bill. That's another advantage to go with an American car like a Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram. And do it from Tri-County. Just go see them. You're not going to get any pressure. They are trustworthy and honest. That's why they support this show. And Brian Krieger, I mean, that guy has been giving money to the Travis Manning Foundation, helping and supporting our veterans for years. They just donated a beautiful Jeep Wrangler to Ryan Manning and the Travis for the, I mean, Ryan got it. They went there, Travis Manning Foundation, and now it's going to do the great work for the veterans. And Ryan sent me a picture of it. Absolutely beautiful. That's the kind of people they are at Tri-County Auto. So please go see them today and give them your support and take advantage of employee pricing. Just go to tricounty.com. Tricounty.com, our official show car sponsor, tricounty.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Dive into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar, Braving the Elements.
Hosted by me, Janet Varney, the voice of Avatar Korra.
And me, Dante Bosco, the voice of Prince Zuko.
Each week, we'll explore a new episode of The Legend of Korra.
Find your balance as we uncover breaking news, trivia, special guests, and so much more.
I mean, I've got some flameo hot takes that'll really light a spark.
Follow and listen to Avatar Braving the Elements on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, yes. Always great having the former Deputy National Security Advisor and the Vice President of the Davis Institute for National Security and Foreign Policy at the Heritage Foundation and the author of the book Battle for the Jewish State, How Israel and America Can Win. She knows how to dress the fanatic in jeans, and she has good jeans herself. She is Dr. Victoria Coates. Hello, my friend.
Happy Summer Friday, Rich. How are you?
I'm doing great. Appreciate you being here today. Lots to chat about. I want to begin with a clip from Caroline Leavitt at the White House today. It's about foreign policy. And then I'd like to get your reaction to this. This is cut number two from the White House press briefing. Let's take a listen.
On the peace front, President Trump helped deliver an immediate and unconditional ceasefire between Thailand and Cambodia. The two countries were engaged in a deadly conflict that had displaced more than 300,000 people until President Trump stepped in to put an end to it. The president spoke directly on the phone with the acting prime minister of Thailand and the prime minister of Cambodia to inform both leaders that unless they brought their conflict to an end, there would be no trade discussions or agreements with the United States. Almost immediately afterward, a peace was brokered that will save thousands of lives and allowed for trade negotiations with these countries to resume, and they have. The president has now ended conflicts between Thailand and Cambodia, Israel and Iran, Rwanda and the Democratic Republic of the Congo, India and Pakistan, Serbia and Kosovo, and Egypt and Ethiopia. This means President Trump has brokered, on average, about one peace deal or ceasefire per month during his 6 months in office. It's well past time that President Trump was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize.
It's a pretty good record there, Dr. Victoria Coates, on securing world peace, huh?
No, it's an incredible record. And the deal that Caroline was talking about between Thailand and Cambodia is really important for us. Thailand's a historic ally of the United States. We've sold them a lot of weapons systems, helped them with training. They have a functioning air force, which Cambodia does not. But, you know, unlike 50 years ago, Cambodia is not a basket case anymore. It's a developing country. We want to have influence in the region. So the president was just like, knock it off. Some 40 people were killed, as she said, over a quarter of a million displaced. It's all over a kind of a fuzzy border that in the post-colonial period when they were drawing this map, somebody didn't do it very precisely, and they both have claims on a disputed piece of territory. This flares up periodically, but what the president says is, I don't have any time for this anymore. I am going to end this, and I'm going to end it by the threat of isolation from the United States. Either you both can trade with us, you could both become more prosperous and peaceful, or you can go into some sort of foolish border war. And I think wisely, both Cambodia and Thailand decided to agree, and all the other deals are great as well. So this is the president flexing our economic might to actually get to diplomatic outcomes, actually real action rather than just discussion.
Well, that's great news. It really is. And now the other big story is that he's giving Vladimir Putin 10 days. I know we have the audio of the president saying that. Matt, if you can grab it for me. I don't have it in front of me.
Cut 21.
All right, cut 21. Let's take a listen.
Yesterday, you mentioned that you would change the Russia deadline to 10 to 12 days. Has that started yet, or when can we, you know, see the official statement that that is the new deadline?
I'll tell you what, I'll give it to you now. Do you want a big scoop?
Yes, please.
Everybody else, close your ears, okay? You ready?
I'm ready.
10 days from today.
Got it.
Okay?
Got it.
Good.
How do you communicate?
We have a scoop.
Thank you.
And then, you know, we're going to put on tariffs and stuff, and I don't know if it's going to affect Russia. Because he wants to obviously probably keep the war going. But we're going to put on tariffs, the various things that you put on. It may or may not affect them, but it could.
First of all, I'm just going to go on a record and say, as far as puppets go, he's the worst puppet ever. Okay? He really is.
No, he is a failure in the puppet department. We can all agree on that. And... yeah, this is what he said he was going to do. Putin should think about what happened to Iran 2 months ago. You know, the president said, I'm going to do this if you don't come make a deal. They didn't come make a deal, and he took the action he took. You know, and what he's talking about with Russia is economic. And you know, one of the things that I think is really strengthening for him is the trade deal he struck in Scotland on Sunday, when you know, the massive deal with the EU, the world's two largest economies, the EU and the United States, bonding together, going to have this great trade deal. It's going to be really good for the United States and good for Europe, too. It's a mutual benefit. But one of the things in there is they're going to buy over $750 billion worth of U.S. energy. I mean, I hope everybody's ears out in the Marcellus pricked up and everybody's thinking about how they can expand production, expand the infrastructure to get that to the coast so we can ship it across the Atlantic to Europe. But this should be great for Pennsylvania and really bad for Russia. So on top of that, if he starts putting tariffs and secondary sanctions on Russian energy and the countries that do business with them, you know, I'm particularly concerned about India. I think the president's a little frustrated with India right now. He would like them to come to the table, get to a deal with them. That should not be beyond our capacity. So I'm hopeful that deal is being worked on now that Korea's done as well. So and the Russians, as far as I'm concerned, can go pound sand. They're having some bad economic news. And, you know, what are they going to do about it? So right. At this point, if their economy is shrinking, our economy is expanding. They can't export to Europe anymore. We cut off the flows to India. Even if China keeps buying, which they may not at the scale that they are, that's really going to bite on Putin's economy.
Well, speaking of that, the trade deal with the European Union, and let's play Caroline Leavitt from the White House press briefing today and then get your thoughts on that, Dr. Victoria Coates. Cut number three.
On the trade front, the president secured a historic trade agreement with the European Union that puts America first and fundamentally strengthens the economic relationship between the two largest economies in the world. This deal delivers on two of President Trump's core promises on trade, supercharging America's manufacturing capacity and opening up foreign market access to American businesses. The deal guarantees that American businesses will have unprecedented levels of access to the European Union markets to export our American-made goods. Also, as part of this agreement, the EU will purchase $750 billion in U.S. energy to strengthen our energy dominance, reduce European reliance on adversarial sources, and narrow our trade deficit with the EU. The EU will also make new investments of $60 billion in the United States, in addition to the more than $100 billion the EU companies already invest in the U.S. every year. All of these massive purchases and investments will happen by the end of 2028. What we are watching is President Trump rebuilding the greatest economy in the history of the world and simultaneously proving the so-called economic experts wrong at every turn. Media pundits said a trade deal with the EU, this monumental and beneficial to
America. All right, we can jump out of this. Thank you. So, Dr. Coates, it's a big deal from an energy perspective, but then also national security perspective, just getting back to Russia now. These countries don't have to be so reliant on Vladimir Putin for their natural gas.
Yeah, I'm glad Caroline and I were on point with our talking points there. But I think that it is outrageous that the Biden administration oversaw 3 years of Europe essentially bankrolling along with China this war in Europe, that they didn't lower the boom on imports of Russian natural gas into Europe and Russian oil, which goes through India. That's another dirty little secret, and gets refined in India and sold into Europe as an Indian product. That should have been ended the minute those tanks rolled into Ukraine. That's how you could have stopped the war. But the Biden people didn't want to produce any more here at home, so they needed those molecules on the market. They told Modi they wouldn't export any more natural gas to him, and that he was going to have to go elsewhere, including to Russia. And it was outrageous. But the other national security component to the deal, which I think Caroline was probably about to talk about, is the arms sales. We're also going to be selling a lot of military equipment to our European NATO allies, and for them to share with Ukraine rather than we just eat the cost of it. Because, as I said, this is a war in Europe. The Europeans have, been playing both sides of this. And one of the most remarkable things of the first 6 weeks, or the first 6 months, rather, is how the president has transformed that relationship, the transatlantic relationship with both the UK and the EU and with NATO. And now we have Europe starting to step up, starting to pay their fair share, starting to be that partner as the second largest economy in the world to the United States, not a dependent.
That's a big deal. Dr. Victoria Coates is with us, and it's great to have her on the show today on a very, very busy day of a lot of national security and foreign policy stuff. Trump has strengthened NATO. And as I was going through all the Hillary Clinton stuff today, I came back to a talking point of hers. He was going to weaken NATO, destroy NATO, and then empower Putin and all the nonsense. NATO is now stronger than ever, but we're not footing the bill for all of it, which is nice. And so all of this comes together to mean a more secure, prosperous world without America having to foot the bill. And that's a great thing. But then you have the energy aspect of this. There's a story in the Washington Post today. So you have lots of hats you wear and lots of hats you wore in the White House and in the administration. Desperate for power, modern AI firms lean on a geriatric American nuclear fleet. After reviving Three Mile Island, Silicon Valley races to lock down more contracts at aging reactors, alarming some regulators and consumer advocates. I had a laugh at this story as they're talking. They're talking about Three Mile Island. You have all these tech companies now that need power after years of the green nonsense agenda that they were embracing, thinking that wokeness would help them. Now they're realizing they need all this power. We have it. We're doing it. We're deregulating. And the beneficiary of this might be far left Silicon Valley, Dr. Coates.
Well, I think we are going to need a lot more energy. Right now, I think AI accounts for about 3% of our energy needs, and in 2 years it's going to be 9%. So that's 6% displaced, 6% more. And as that article says, it is actually accurate. This is an aging grid. We need a full grid overhaul. But I had to laugh because I grew up in Lancaster. So I grew up a little over 20 miles from Three Mile Island. And so we, as a child in grade school, I experienced the so-called meltdown. But the thing with TMI is it didn't actually melt down. There wasn't significant damage to the reactor, and they have continued activity there. If you fly in and out of Harrisburg, which I do periodically, the stacks are still smoking. It's not like it's completely dormant. There is activity there. So starting it back up, while expensive, I think it's going to cost about $1 billion to do it, but the power generation that thing can produce is just enormous. So it's worth it for that $1 billion to have that captive source in the middle of Pennsylvania. And I think we can imagine these sorts of power generators growing up, coming up rather, maybe along the Scranton corridor. We could see them out in the west of the state where the president was for that, where you were for that energy event 10 days ago. So that's, you know, this is all really good news, I think. But the problem, the potential strain on the grid is something we really need to keep an eye on.
Yeah, absolutely we do, especially when you've got 7 inches of rain coming our way, like they're talking about, mm-hmm. you know, today. By the way, have you heard in the news recently, there's a lot of talk about something called Russia Gate. I haven't been paying much attention to this, Dr. Coates, but as you were the deputy national security advisor to President Donald Trump, and now your mutual friend, John Ratcliffe, CIA director, is declassifying all this stuff. Is there anything you'd like to opine about on the matter?
Well, I shouldn't laugh because this is deadly serious. And both John and Tulsi Gabbard are friends, and they are doing the board's work here, getting the truth of the story out. And the lies that were told, the disruption to the first Trump term, which was criminal. They were trying to undermine the president of the United States, perhaps more importantly, the commander in chief. They didn't care. They wanted to try to bring his presidency down, what they did to General Flynn, to the NSC. It's outrageous. And all of this needs to come out. It needs to be exposed or else they're going to try to do it again. I mean, you already see these like little plots against Secretary Hegseth or against DNI Gabbard that, you know, they're trying to trip them up. They're trying to embroil them in scandal, force them to resign. Signalgate from that Mike Waltz, rather. You know, this is all their same nasty little playbook. And we can't let this happen. We can't let conservative Republican presidents be consistently undermined and targeted while a mentally incompetent Democrat president is propped up for 4 years. I mean, it's beyond a joke. So, you know, from a national security perspective, absolutely imperative that we get to the bottom of this, expose the people who did this, and make sure it doesn't happen again.
Yeah, well said. And it's funny because Alyssa Slotkin, I played the clip, was on Colbert last night, you know, because she's such mm-hmm. a hilarious comedian. And she talked about these hardworking people in the deep state who, you know, deep state mocking it, who these guys who wear mom jeans on the weekends and wear white sneakers and, you know, trying to act like all the they're all heroes. There are a lot of heroes in the intelligence community. Absolutely. But they're also slimebag, scumbag liars and traitors who were orchestrating a coup against an American president. And prior to that, we're working to try to stop an American citizen from becoming president. It's an egregious abuse of power. It's exactly what a police state is when the government uses its law enforcement and its intelligence assets for politics. I guess the question is, if they put all this stuff in burn bags, why did these idiots burn the bags? Did they think the burn bags were self-combusting or self-combustible? I mean, I'm trying to understand that part, Dr. Coates.
No, I think this is my guess. I do not know this, but from knowing the process, destroying that kind of documentation unlawfully, I mean, there are very strict rules about what you put in the burn bag, you don't put in the burn bag. So my guess is they thought the burn bags were a way to, if you think about the last scene in Raiders of the Lost Ark, where the Ark's being shoved into the giant warehouse, filled with things where it will never be found. They thought they could just stuff a bunch of burn bags in the basement and no one would ever find it. But somebody knew about the burn bags, and that person was the hero, who is the person who leaked or who ratted out the people who put the stuff in the burn bags. And those people also exist. So I think the American people, your audience, should take heart. There are good people who are career servants in the federal government. And some of them now feel really empowered with the return of President Trump, who they served faithfully in the first term. And, you know, they stayed and they saw all of this, and now they're bringing the receipt, as it were. So something along those lines. I think it was their attempt to skirt the law, you know, to fulfill the letter of the law, but to try to cover their tracks.
Well said, my friend. Dr. Coates, have a great weekend. Follow her on X at Victoria Coates. Always a pleasure, Doc. Thank you.
Thank you. Take care, Rich.
The
Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
That's the big story of the hour, brought to you by Dr. Mike Veneri of Veneria Dental, with two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Go see Dr. Mike for your perfect smile. And let me just tell you about my friends at Emmons Roofing and Siding, because you can save 10% off. 10% off roofing, siding, Anderson windows, doors, and so much more. My great friends at Emmons Roofing. They even have a kitchen and bathroom remodeling division. Here's what I want you to do. Go to callemmons.com. Callemmons.com. That would be great for you to do. And then go see them. And then reach out to them, because they're terrific. And they're my great friends. And they remodeled my kitchen. They remodeled my bathroom. And they did a great job for me both times in our house. And it looks beautiful. So do that today. Callemmons.com. 10% off. The best in the business. They are Owens Corning Platinum certified. So you know you're getting the absolute best from Emmons. And that's why you need to reach out to them. Lifetime warranty on that roof. Lifetime warranty on that roof for you. That's what I'm talking about, all right? So trust in the great team at Emmons. They serve our whole region. Call Emmons.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Dive into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar, Braving the Elements.
Hosted by me, Janet Varney, the voice of Avatar Korra.
And me, Dante Bosco, the voice of Prince Zuko.
Each week, we'll explore a new episode of The Legend of Korra.
Find your balance as we uncover breaking news, trivia, special guests, and so much more.
I mean, I've got some flamio hot takes that'll really light a spark.
Follow and listen to Avatar, Braving the Elements on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.